The date was 2020, and the place was Tennessee, I believe. A young man posted a video of him running on a treadmill. It's not something I typically would watch, but anyways, he was running for some time and on a slight incline when he wanted to cool down. And normally, this would result in the treadmill slowly lowering itself in increments and slowing itself down. But in this case, a malfunction happened, which is why I decided to watch the video. This malfunction happened, and the incline actually increased to the maximum, as well as maximum speed. And he's sitting there running, and he begins to freak out and verbally commenting on the fact that he thought he was going to die. And he calls out for help, and he looks and he sees what looks like his about 5-year-old daughter just off camera. And he calls out to her and says, "Unplug the machine." And she comes just onto view of the camera and says, "Daddy, just jump." And it's at that moment that you can see the lights go on in his head, and he's like, "I could just grab the side, the rails, and jump and put my feet on either side, and I'll be perfectly fine." Right? All he needed to do was jump. But in the moment, he was so caught up, he didn't understand what he needed to do. And I believe that at that moment, he truly understood the words of Proverbs 28, verse 1. "The foolish man runs when no one is chasing him." Have you ever felt that life is sometimes just overwhelming and you're unable to think rationally? Something that should be no problem to figure out. Just jump, Daddy, right? You'll be fine. But you're caught up in the moment and you are just so stuck, and you can't even begin to rationalize that. We are busy. We've got so many things to do. Our lives are caught up in the busyness and the muchness and the so much that we need to do that we don't know how we can honestly take the time to slow down. Yet if we could, that is exactly what we should do. But how do we cope when life is spinning out of control and all we can think of is to just hang on? And we're like that poster of a cat just hanging on, right? How can we do that when we're stuck in that life or that part of life? Well, I hope whatever you are holding on to is not a rope, but God. And I hope that you are calling out and crying out to God as we hang on like that cat clawing its way up a screen door or whatever it is, holding on with all of our might. I hope that we are holding on to God. But know this, God is holding on to you. So how do you cope with all of these situations? See, God didn't create you to simply endure or to put up with. We're actually called to enjoy. We're called to take a passage like John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So I'm going to ask this morning, do you believe this is what God wants for us? To live life exceedingly abundantly? Are you living that life? Are you living a life of exceeding abundance? Because we are created for so much more than we could ever imagine. are you living that life? Yesterday, we had an absolutely wonderful day of prayer and fasting here at the church. And in spite of the weather and all of the extra snow that we got, we had a great time here. We have spent the past several weeks going over and learning from different spiritual disciplines as a way to grow in our faith and a way to connect with God on a deeper level. And one of the ways that we can connect with God and experience that amazing life and joy is through something that most Christians are very, I'll say, suspicious about. It's the topic of meditation. Honestly, when we think of meditation, we think of Buddhists and people who get down on their, they sit down and they cross their legs in ways that I can't do, and they chant or simply they say, we think this is meditation. A lot of people think this is what it's all about. I'm not sure what you're supposed to be doing while you're saying om, thinking of watts or amperages as well. Electrical joke, never mind. But that's our view of meditation. And in fact, did you know that 80% of North American Christians have never meditated? And only 12% who have do it on a regular basis. On 58 different occasions in the scriptures, we are told to meditate. That's just in the Old Testament. Passages like Psalm chapter 1, where we read this: blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We read in Psalm chapter 63, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands. Pardon me. I will bless you while you live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you, you are my bed. I meditate on you night in the night watches. We also read again in Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day or all day long. See, the point of meditation is to connect with God so that we can be obedient to God as we listen to what God is saying to us and his desire for our lives. It's almost that simple, yet there is something about meditation that is scary. It's not concrete. It's not like reading the Bible where you can hold the book in your hand. It's right there. There's something tangible. Meditation is all about you and God. And maybe that's what's really scary about it. We come face to face with God. It's just you and him. And sometimes that's pretty scary. Just you and God. Yet isn't that what we want? To spend time with God? Isn't that what we do in prayer? We call upon God. And yet maybe meditation has more of a mystical appearance or reputation. And maybe we just don't know much about it. And so we shy away from it. It's that Eastern thing that I don't know. Meditation actually boldly calls us to enter into the living presence of God for ourselves. And it tells us that God is speaking in the here and in the now, and wants to address us. God's speaking to us. Isn't that what we long for? Is anybody else longing for this? In meditation, we create an emotional and a spiritual space which allows Christ to build an inner sanctuary within our hearts. It's a wonderful passage in Revelation chapter 3. It's verse 20, and Jesus is standing at the door and he knocks and he wants to come in and eat with us. And in a sense, meditation opens up the door and engages us with God. So what this means is that we create an intentional space through meditation so that we can experience God. Not just on occasion, but on the very real and regular basis. Because we experience Christ on a more regular basis, we now gain a greater understanding of what he wants us to do in our lives. And in a very real way, this opens the door to the holy. Now, honestly, the word holy, it's one of these concepts that I barely understand. God is holy. I just know that I am not. What does it truly mean to be holy? But I think that's a whole nother sermon. Now you might be wondering, how is this different than what we would call the New Age or the Buddhist meditation? Well, let me tell you this, it's completely and totally different. You see, the goal of Eastern meditation is to empty our minds. Eastern meditation seeks to detach oneself from the world and merge with the cosmic mind, where we want to be free from the burdens and the pains of this life, and we want to be released into the impersonal or nirvana-ness of the ether, the cosmos. There is no God, and we can attach ourselves to, because the goal of Eastern meditation is detachment. In Christian meditation, the goal is a deeper dependence and attachment with God. It's the complete opposite. We know where we are going or wanting. We know what and who we want to attach ourselves to, and that is God. And so our desire is to attach ourselves to God in a deeper way. And once we attach ourselves to God in meditation, there is a new openness to experience God and to have his growing in our lives. And as we grow in Christ and become more Christ-like. So Christian meditation is simply desiring and trying to hear God's voice and to be with him and to obey his word. It's no more complicated than that simple definition. It requires no secret knowledge, no mysteries, no mantras, no mental gymnastics, but it does require one thing. Practice. Another way to describe Christian meditation is to call it contemplative prayer. It's a calming of our minds and our hearts so that God's voice can clearly be heard. God is alive and is constantly seeking us out to have a relationship with Him. And meditation calms us so that we can do just that, have a deeper relationship with God. Another way of describing this meditation is an inward fellowship. And it's in this kind of inward fellowship that will transform you, and so that you transform you and all of you to be more like Christ. It's connecting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same one who has already taken up residence within us on the day that we said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's already there. It's just acknowledging and recognizing that He is there. Meditation allows us to connect ourselves with God, with our minds, so what we're thinking about, with our hearts, what we're feeling, and with our souls, and which is all that we're concerned about. Meditation is connecting to God with our whole self, holding nothing back. Now, I know that there's going to be some people who look at Christian meditation and think that this is a whole bunch of touchy-feely nonsense. It's not for you. Even in the midst of our more difficult times in life, God still wants us to draw closer to Him. It's not something that is very difficult to learn. We just need to give Christian meditation a chance. And so I believe that meditation helps us learn to experience that still, small voice of God. And when we meditate, we seek to discover Christ's presence in our lives. We want to hear a word from Him. The great thing is you don't need an advanced degree to be able to meditate. You just need your own willingness to be open to receive a word from the Lord. Now, all that is great, but how exactly do we do this? There's a wonderful biblical example from Paul's words. His words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read them, starting at verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhorting, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophet or by prophecy with the laying on of hands. The hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, this word meditate is a beautiful word. It means to consider something, to remember something, to muse, to rehearse, to continuously bring to your mind. Now, this last part I really like, to continuously bring to your mind. Paul is calling Timothy to rehearse in his mind all the things which God has given him. Paul is saying, meditate on these things. Meditate on the gift which was given to you, Timothy. It's a gift that is already in him and being made evident to the people that he is serving. His gift is teaching of Christ, because his relationship with Christ. And besides that, Timothy should meditate on what it means to hold on to the word. Meditate on his conduct, on love, on the Spirit, on faith, on purity, reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And in order to do that, Timothy must talk to God about all these areas and listen to God's response. For us to become more like Christ and to be transformed more and more into his image, we need to know God even better and be able to recognize him and listen to his voice. Now, since meditation is probably fairly foreign to a lot of people, I want us to spend the last part of this passage talking about meditation in more practical terms. Let's start with a when. When should we meditate? Well, any time is possible. Almost any time is a good time to meditate. I'll explain that. You see, the early church fathers sought to experience what they call holy leisure. And it means having a sense of balance of life, having the ability to be at peace throughout the various activities of the day, an ability to rest and enjoy God's creation as we pace ourselves through the day. And this is something which we have lacking here. At least it lacks for me in various times over these past couple of years. During this pandemic, I have gotten stressed. I have gotten overly tired. I have gotten grumpy. And amazingly, this sermon has come at the right time for me. Hopefully for you as well. Well, any time can be a time to meditate. There are times when you should not meditate. If you are needing to focus on a different task which requires your full attention, such as doing your job, that is not a time to be meditating. Give your full attention to that. And that leads us to the next practical of the where. Once again, you can meditate virtually anywhere, but perhaps your workplace may not be a good spot for it. I have a great workplace which actually encourages it. You may not. Anywhere can be a place to meditate. Your surroundings will allow your meditation to be successful by being able to focus on God and not distractions around you. So if you're in a place full of distractions in the middle of a mall or something like that, that may not be a good time or place to do it. But maybe that's just what you need. I don't know. When you meditate, you want to find a comfortable place, one that is free from interruptions. I know that if I were to go to Polo Park and sit down on one of the benches, virtually no one would bother me because, well, I'm almost never there, so nobody knows me. And maybe one of you would see me and wonder what I'm doing there. But I could do it there. But when you meditate, you want to find that comfortable place. It should be free from interruptions. You shouldn't have the TV or the radio on, or you shouldn't have your phone with you so that you can play your word games and all that other stuff. That's not going to help your meditation. But it should also allow you to have a good posture. Whatever spot feels right for you. Meditation can occur in any position, just like prayer can. And yet, you want to find a position in which you are, which is not uncomfortable, but one that is not so comfortable that meditation should not result in this. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't fall asleep while meditating. If you're filled with anxiety and concern, your soul, within your soul, you're intentionally picking a position which signifies peace and relaxation. The Bible gives us images of people in all types of positions, sitting, standing, with their arms raised, lying prostrate, face down. Regardless of how you meditate, the aim is to center your attention of your body, your mind, and your emotions and your spirit upon God's glory. In fact, there are some who meditate while they walk. Some of them do it even running. While on sabbatical, I would walk Jess to work in the morning, and then I would walk home again, and after lunch, I would walk her back to work again, and I would walk home, and often I would spend my time walking home alone, just meditating on the things that I had read that morning, meditating on God's Word. In fact, it wasn't all that uncommon for me to make a short little pit stop not that far from your place, on the park bench. Just sit there and meditate for a little bit, enjoying the sunshine, the beauty of the day and God's nature. My pace was never rushed, and I even found a place to stop and to be at peace with God. Then there's a question of what to focus on while we meditate. The first and foremost and obvious is the Scriptures. Joshua is about to lead the people into Israel, and these words came to Joshua from God in Joshua chapter 1. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua was to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And the image of the Bible portrays biblical meditation is a natural thing to do. The Bible never gives us an explanation of exactly what you're supposed to think of. Take the passage and think upon that. It was assumed that the people knew what to do. And we see Joshua, and what he's doing is contemplating, going over the Word of God. This would take place within his heart, within his mind, within his spirit. He would reflect upon God's Word and how it applied to his life, and he would listen for God's instructions and his guidance in leading the nation of Israel. Biblical meditation involves filling the mind with the Word of God. The only way for us to do that is to know the Word of God. Thankfully, today we have ready access to the Bible. I don't know how many of you have multiple copies of the Bible, but if you have a device, I said maybe don't use your device, but if that's where your Bible is, open it up, read the Bible. You can have countless English translations for free on your phone. Make use of it. Use them. Read something. See, biblical meditation involves filling our mind with the Word of God, and it's actually a word that's used of a cow. A cow chewing on its cud, which is why there's a cow on the bulletin. The cow has four compartments in its stomach, and she can go out in the morning, graze upon grass, and when the dew is out on it and nice and cool for the day, and then when it gets a little bit hotter in the middle of the day, she can lie down under a tree and begin to chew on its cud. She moves the grass that she had in the morning back up, and she chews on it some more. And likewise, I know it's a gross illustration, but this is what God wants us to do with His Word. To read it and chew on it and think about it in order to get the sweetness and the nutrition out of it. And the word meditate was also used of chattering birds, mulling it over, literally muttering to ourselves about it. And when we think we've done a good job, we can take a break. But later on in the day, bring it back up to our minds and start thinking about it again. Getting more and more out of it. You see, a key part to meditation is the ability to listen. And this means that you got to get rid of all types of distractions. And it's not easy to do. It's really not. But this is also not emptying your mind, but rather focusing your mind upon God by thinking about all the extra stuff, all of that extra stuff that was getting in the way of letting God have greater room within us. You see, once we stop focusing on the distractions, we're able to focus upon God and to listen to His Word in our lives. Today we have communion. And I want to close. I know we're going a little bit long today, but it's just the way it is. I'm going to blame Nancy. She gave me lots of extra time yesterday. But seriously, today we have communion. A time to spend with God, to commune with Him. And I want to encourage you that while the elements are being handed out, that you would meditate upon these verses of Scripture. Today there will be no music, just silence, as we meditate on His Word. And the verses, they're from 1 Corinthians 11. They are familiar words, the words of Christ, spoken at the Last Supper. And I'm going to ask if the kids want to come back in for communion. They're welcome to join us. But these are the words. Take time to meditate on them, to chew on them, to listen to what God has to say. And I know it's a short time, but this is what I'm asking for us to do practically today, to give it a try. To meditate on God's Word. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you so much for the gift of your Son. I thank you that His body was broken for us. Forgive us for our sins, we pray. Amen. Verse 25, it says these words, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came to the,
came to this earth to die on the cross, that you willingly shed your blood for us, that our sins would be forgiven. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you that you did this for me. Amen.